From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. In 2017, Southern Illinois was in the path of totality for a solar eclipse, the narrow band that experiences the moon's total blocking of the sun, making midday feel like midnight. I was fortunate enough to be there with one of my sons, then 5 years old, in a grassy field behind a church in Randolph County.
Wow. That is it. That's the totality. Look, you can see a planet. Do you hear the crickets too? Listen. And look at the horizon, how it looks like sunset everywhere. The lights have come on the farmhouse and the church.
It really was amazing. A total solar eclipse is one of those things where if you can possibly swing it, it's well worth experiencing firsthand. And you'll have another chance next year when Southern Illinois will once again be in the path of totality for a major North American solar eclipse. It's only going to last 4.5 minutes, so preparation is essential, especially for the people hoping not just for an amazing personal experience, but to collect scientific data from the event. And that brings us to a group of Southern Illinois University students, staff, and faculty who are doing just that by witnessing a different solar eclipse on April 20th of this year. Except to see this one, the team is leaving Southern Illinois and heading to Australia. Joining us now to talk about all this is Corey Brevik. She's an assistant professor of practice in the School of Physics and Applied Physics at SIU, and she's part of the group traveling to Australia to study the solar eclipse there. Professor Brevik, welcome to the 21st Show.
Thank you very much.
And listeners, you should know we taped this conversation last week in order to make our schedules meet. By the time you hear this, Professor Brevik and the rest of the SIU team will be on Australia making final preparations for the eclipse there. Because of that, we're not taking calls live. But as ever, let us know what you thought by emailing us at talk@21stshow.org. Okay, I want to start by putting this in some perspective for our listeners. Talk about how and why solar eclipses happen.
So solar eclipses occur when the moon passes between the Earth and the sun. And while they're not really the same size, because the moon is so much closer, it looks like it's the same size. And so the moon can cover the disk of the sun. And then we get a solar eclipse. They're really special because that perfect alignment doesn't happen very often. Our moon actually orbits on a slightly tilted plane. And so most of the time when we have a new moon, the moon's a little too high or it's a little too low and its shadow misses the Earth. So everything has to line up just right for that blockage of the sun's light to occur. And then you have to be in just the right spot on the planet to see it. And that happens even less often.
So it's pretty amazing that Southern Illinois is going to have two solar eclipses in the path of totality within 7 years. That's pretty unusual, right?
Yeah, it's astronomical. Right? It just rarely happens.
I heard what
Most
you did there.
Most people, if they're lucky, they get to see one solar eclipse in their lifetime. For us to have a chance to see two is truly amazing.
So why is it only certain places get to see these things? What is it about? I mean, why isn't the entire Earth blotted out?
So because the moon is smaller than the Earth, its shadow is quite a bit smaller than the Earth. And so when the shadow of the moon passes across the Earth, it makes a very small circle. And so you have to be in exactly the spot that the shadow is covering in order to see the eclipse. And then depending on exactly where the moon is located, that's why the shadow's in different places every time. Sometimes it's a little higher, sometimes it's a little lower, but it hits different spots almost every time it happens.
So were you present in Southern Illinois for the eclipse in 2017?
Sadly, I was not.
You were not.
I was in a location where I got a partial eclipse, which is not the same thing.
No.
Like the total solar eclipse is very special.
Yeah, I understand. And I was not in Carbondale. I was in a different part of the state. And I understand that was sort of lucky for me because I gather there were clouds for a lot of it in Carbondale.
For a piece of it. But they definitely did get to see the total solar eclipse from the stadium here at SIU. So we didn't miss out completely. It's always a chance because we're so weather dependent when we're doing anything astronomy related.
Yeah.
But they did get a chance to observe part of it.
So just talk about what should people expect when they witness one of these things? What is it actually like?
So the total eclipse actually takes several hours. Initially, the moon will move in front of the sun and it'll slowly block it out. So for the first couple hours, if you have your eclipse glasses, you can watch the sun slowly disappear. You aren't going to notice a lot of changes until right before the total eclipse occurs. But as the moon covers the whole sun, that's when you start getting the interesting visual effects like shadow bands, and it gets cooler. It gets truly dark. And so for a few minutes, it's like nighttime. You can see the stars. You can see the planets. And then totality depends on the eclipse. In 2024, we're going to have 4 minutes and 9 seconds of totality in Carbondale. And then the sun will start to peek out again. And for the next couple hours, you'll be able to watch that shadow move past and the sun come back.
That's a long time. I found actually some pictures I took back in 2017, and I had written on my hand for the precise spot where I was standing. It was from 118 and 54 seconds to 121 and 30 seconds. So that's just 2.5 minutes.
Totality is usually very short. The fact that this in 2024, it's going to be longer than it was in 2017.
That's amazing. And you mentioned you can see the planets and stars. I was struck by that, of course, but I was also struck by what happened, and we heard a little bit of that in the tape earlier, of like streetlights going on or lights on the side of a barn turning on, and the crickets and other night sounds coming to the fore. Just in that short 2 minute span, it was really quite something. That's the sort of personal experience. What do you learn scientifically during a solar eclipse?
So the atmosphere of the sun, what we call the corona, is much hotter than the surface of the sun, but it's also much fainter. So when we normally look at the sun, you can't see the corona. The brightness of the surface drowns out the corona. However, during a solar eclipse, the main body of the sun is blocked, and then for all of a sudden that solar atmosphere shows up. And so there's all sorts of research we can do about that atmosphere once we can see it.
And the corona, of course, I think is Latin from crown, right? This is, as every kid who has ever drawn a sun will know, you draw the circle and then the sort of the lines coming out from it. And that represents the corona. What sort of equipment are you bringing to Australia to do this work?
So SIU is part of a project called the DEB Initiative, where we're hoping to set up telescopes across the entire line of totality in 2024. And so we're testing those telescopes. They're smaller scopes. They're easily transportable, which is good because we have to take them on a plane. But we can set them up anywhere. And they've got solar filters so that we can observe the sun. And we've got imaging capabilities so we can record what we're seeing.
Let me take a moment to reintroduce our conversation. This is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking with Corey Brevik, who's an assistant professor of practice in the School of Physics and Applied Physics at Southern Illinois University, Carbondale. She is part of a team of faculty, staff, and students. They're going to be traveling to Australia to witness a solar eclipse there. And that is in preparation for an eclipse that will be blocking out the sun in Southern Illinois in April of 2024. Let's talk a little bit about eclipse safety. I remember I had my cardboard glasses from 2017 when I witnessed that eclipse. Are those still going to be good next time around? Do I need to get new ones? They were pretty hard to come by, as I recall, a few years back.
So they should still be good if they have no holes punctured in them. So if you have a pair of glasses from before, if you are in a darkened room and you look it through them at a light bulb, if you can see pinpoints of light coming through those glasses, then they're no good. You should throw them away. if everything is completely dark, then they should be fine.
And just maybe remind us as to why those sorts of glasses are important, despite what we may have seen. I was reminded this morning as we were preparing to record this segment of certain high government officials who sort of looked up at the sun despite the best advice from scientists not to. Why should you not look up until the actual moments of totality?
So during the day, we all know that if you stare at the sun for more than just a couple seconds, there's so much light coming, you start to see spots, and it's very hard on your eyes. The challenge with an eclipse is because it's starting to get dark, sometimes people will want to stare at the sun, but you're still getting all that light coming. And so it's just as bad for your eyes as staring at it. And as little kids, our parents all told us, don't stare at the sun. The same thing is true here. There's a lot of light coming and it's too much and it can actually damage the cells of your eyes. The advantage of the solar glasses is they block out that. So most of what you see when you look at the sun is darkness with a very tiny amount of light filtering through that makes it safe. Once you reach totality, the really bright part of the sun is blocked and then you can take your glasses off. But the minute the sun starts to pop out again, you want to get those glasses back on.
Yeah, and it doesn't take much, just a few seconds, and it's really gets pretty bright looking at it. All right, so I understand, I want to talk a little bit about your delegation to Australia. There's a wide range of student majors that are represented on this trip. I wonder what, say, a finance major is going to take away from this trip to Australia to see a total solar eclipse.
So we do have a broad group of students, and I think there's several pieces of this. There's the scientific aspect. There's the once-in-a-lifetime amazing opportunity to see an eclipse experience. And then there's all of the cultural and the plants and the wildlife just from being in another country. So we're going to be there for about a week, and we're going to do a lot of sightseeing and checking out the area around Western Australia. So for even students who aren't science majors, there's going to be some pretty amazing life experiences we hope to get a chance to participate with.
So what are you hoping to take away from this trip?
So I missed the 2017 eclipse, so I'm super excited. This will be my first total solar eclipse.
Oh, wow.
I also haven't been to Western Australia before, so I'm super excited about that as well. And I love traveling with students. It's a really wonderful opportunity to be able to get out, see something new, try something different.
And you mentioned spending some time outside of the eclipse, which, again, is really just a few minutes of totality, a few hours around that. What are some of the other highlights you're looking forward to on this trip?
So we are flying into Perth, which is a city of about 2 million people. So there are some really amazing attractions in Perth. And then we are driving up the coast. The only part of Australia that's in the path of this eclipse is a small peninsula up by Exmouth. So we've got about a 12 to 13 hour drive. So along the way, we're going to get to swim in the Indian Ocean, check out the coral beaches. There's coral reefs, so we're going to take a boat and go see the coral reefs. We're going to do some hiking. There's obviously amazing wildlife.
I suppose it's probably too late for me to sign up for this trip. It sounds pretty amazing. What if someone is, however, not in Australia in this April, but in April of 2024, if someone is interested in seeing the total solar eclipse for themselves next year, what advice do you have for them?
Find a spot where you know the total solar eclipse is going to pass over. And if you need to travel to that spot, consider making reservations early so that you have a spot to stay. Just like in 2017, for example, Carbondale will be having a large event. We have hotel rooms available. We're going to have a big show in the stadium. So you can have people walk you through what's happening and talk about it as it's occurring. But you definitely want to find your place to go. If you wait till the few days before, often everything is booked. you're just driving in and out for the day, it's okay. But if you need to have lodging, you want to kind of plan ahead.
Corey Brevik is assistant professor of practice in the School of Physics and Applied Physics at Southern Illinois University, Carbondale. Thank you so much for being with us, and safe travels in Australia.
Thank you very much.
We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll have more 21st Show. I do want to mention, we'd love to hear what you think about either this conversation or anything else we've talked about in the recent past. Send us an email to talk@21stshow.org. You can also find that email address, plus our voicemail line and our social media, every other way to contact us. It's all on our website, 21stshow.org, 21stshow.org. More to come after a short break. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us.